Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
And thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah. Today is the 1st of May already. Can you believe how quickly the time is going? We're already in May. It's Monday, May 1st, 2017, and this is the second of our four-part series, looking at the lectionary texts assigned for the third Sunday in Easter, April 30th. And yesterday we talked about the reading from Acts, and today we'll be moving on to the reading from the Psalms. Today's reading is from Psalm 116, which is often described, not often, it is described as a psalm of thanksgiving. And as you know, psalms are usually psalms fall into a particular category. So there are lament psalms, there's psalms of thanksgiving, there's all kinds of different psalms, which, as I've said before, really run the gamut of all human emotions, right? So if you have anything going on in your life in terms of emotions or feelings, and you want to look in the Bible to find a passage about those feelings, the best place you can look is in the book of Psalms, because the Psalms really covers it all. Joy, sorrow, thanksgiving, fear, lament, anger, whatever you're feeling, you're going to find it in the Psalms. So that is one of the things that I really appreciate about the book of Psalms. I've also been talking about Easter resurrection kind of things this past couple of weeks during the season of Easter, asking you where you have seen signs of resurrection, signs of new life in your life. And for me, maybe it's not exactly a sign of resurrection, but it's definitely something for which I give thanks, which ties into the psalm for today. I had a friend visit me last week on Thursday and Friday, a friend of mine from seminary who I hadn't seen in about almost 5 years, actually, since she came out for my wedding. And she lives in Washington, D.C. currently, and she and her husband are getting ready to move to Belgium. Her husband's in the Air Force, and they have been stationed in all kinds of interesting places, and now they're moving to Belgium. So I'm so glad that I got to see her. She came out. She had an interview at the seminary, which is a couple hours from where I live. And so she came and stayed with my husband and I on Thursday night. And it was just so wonderful to see her and to spend time with her and to, you know, have a friend who understands my weird sense of humor and gets my silly theology jokes, because not everybody does. And a lot of people think you're kind of a dork or a nerd when you make theology jokes. But, you know, friends from seminary tend to get those. They just kind of speak the same language. So it's always great to have those friends in your life. And it's one of those friendships where we don't see each other very often. But when we do, it's like no time has passed and we just fall back into the same patterns. And we had great conversation. We had dinner with another friend of ours from seminary. So that was wonderful. Just a really, really wonderful evening and half a day on Thursday, about a half a day on Friday before she had to leave to go back for her interview. So that is my resurrection story for today, that I got to see this friend and it was wonderful and life-giving. I don't know if you have those friends who just feel like they've instilled new life into you when they come to visit, or even when you just talk on the phone or on social media, whatever. I respect this woman so much. She is amazing, and I just really appreciate having her in my life. So that's my sign of, or my story about new life, about resurrection sightings in this Easter. But we are going to talk about Psalm 116 today, not my own personal life. And Psalm 116, it's Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2, and then, I'm sorry, excuse me, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. And those verses are as follows. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So again, that was Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19, assigned for the week of April 30th, the third Sunday in Easter. And I always find it interesting when the lectionary leaves out texts, or verses, excuse me. So Psalm 116 isn't terribly long. It's actually only 19 verses. So we read most of them. And they just left out verses 5 through 11. And so whenever I see that, I always find it interesting to go back and read the verses that aren't included in the lectionary text. If it's an incredibly long psalm, of course, you can understand why they leave things out. But I just wanted to read those verses to you so you would know. You could always look it up, of course, but I'll read them to you so you know what verses 5 through 11 are in this psalm. Starting with verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For the Lord delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. So there's some actually really interesting things in this in these few verses that jumped out at me. I'm not sure the things that you heard. You know, I always like to ask that question of what did you hear or what did you hear differently, maybe. This isn't a psalm that I am overly familiar with. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but it's not, you know, it's not one of those psalms that you hear and it's instantly recognizable. For instance, Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills, or Psalm 23, which almost everyone seems to know. This is one of those that, you know, I hear bits of familiarity in it, but it's not one that immediately, if you said Psalm 116, I don't think I could pull a verse out of my head for what that psalm is. But you know, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. And then I really appreciated verses 8 and 9. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now that to me definitely sounds like reason for thanksgiving. I don't know how that sounds to you, but I can understand in these verses, I can definitely see the reason for thanksgiving. The things that the psalmist has experienced and the things that the psalmist is giving thanks to God for. So, you know, God has delivered my soul from death. That's a huge one. But even just these simple ones, God has delivered my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. That's important, you know. I mean, obviously crying is cathartic, but when God is with you, God is in your life, God is present, then God can help to deliver you from those tears. Not wiping away the grief, but just reminding you of God's presence, of the promises of the resurrection, of the promises that God has made to us throughout history, etc. So God can, in fact, deliver our eyes from tears, our feet from stumbling. And when I think about that, when I think about our feet from stumbling, it makes me just think, I mean, I'm a total klutz, so my feet stumble over anything and nothing all of the time. But I don't think that's quite as literal as what the psalmist is talking about. Rather, it's the path that we walk in life, and we often stumble on that path, right? We often make mistakes. We often make poor choices. And yet, God is with us. God can deliver our feet from stumbling. God remains with us even when we stumble, even when we take the wrong path, all of those decisions that we make in life, God is still with us. And so for me, that's where I take comfort in these. And then as I was speaking of earlier with the different emotions, the different range of emotions, verses 10 and 11, I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. So obviously, you know, there were things in the psalmist's life that were troubling to him or her. He's saying that he or she kept their faith even when they were greatly afflicted. Even when they said in their consternation, their frustration, everyone is a liar. Do you ever feel like that? You know, everyone around you is just lying to you about things. That is why I love the Psalms, because pretty much anything that you have gone through can be found in the Psalms. Any emotion you have felt can be found in the Psalms. So those are the missing verses, not missing, just the verses that weren't included in the lectionary reading for this week. I just wanted to go over those with you. We are going to talk more about the verses that were assigned for this week, 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. But we are going to take our first break, so stay tuned and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The Health and Wellness Podcast, dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the second of the four assigned readings for April 30th, 2017, the third Sunday in Easter. And we are talking about, again, Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. A little bit of context for you on Psalm 116. It is actually part of a group of psalms, Psalms 113 through 118, that are recited at the Passover, meal on the eighth day of Passover. So this would be a familiar psalm to Jewish people who celebrate the Passover, read this psalm each year as they celebrate that Passover meal, and they would know that this reading is part of that celebration. One of the commentaries that I saw this week said that Psalms 113 and 114 of that grouping are read before the meal, and then the last ones, 115 through 116, are read at its conclusion while drinking the fourth cup of celebratory wine. So if you're a total lightweight like me, you might not actually remember the readings of those psalms, because I think if I was on my fourth cup of celebratory wine, I might not be fully awake anymore. That's just me, though, and I'm not saying anything about drinking wine. That's, you know, neither here nor there. I just thought it was funny because I'd be snoring in a corner somewhere. I am a lightweight. Anyway, so well, Psalm 116, as I said, is classified as a Thanksgiving psalm. It's actually classified as an individual hymn of Thanksgiving, meaning it is the Thanksgiving psalm or the Thanksgiving words of one person rather than a group of people. This psalm praises God for goodness to or on behalf of that individual. And usually in Thanksgiving psalms, there is praise for the deliverance from some trying situation, and those situations could be anything from oppression to war to sickness, etc. And we definitely see that in Psalm 116. Not specific, it doesn't, you know, say specifically oppression, war, or sickness, but we got that in the frustration that you could feel from the psalmist's words, from, you know, the everyone around me are liars. I even in the affliction, the psalmist says that he or she kept their faith. So in those psalms, a person is saved out of great distress, and then now with a grateful heart, he or she brings a thank offering to God. So it was customary that at a certain point in the sacred ceremony, the person offering thanksgiving would offer a song in which he or she expressed thanks for their deliverance. So that's kind of interesting, right? I'm sure we all have rituals for how we say thank you. We may even have either individual or corporate rituals for how we give thanks in a worship setting. Wouldn't it be interesting if we were to write our own psalms of thanksgiving? And psalms, of course, were songs. We sometimes sing them to various tunes or psalm tones in our own traditions, but we don't know what they were, how they were sung originally. I'm really glad that I don't have to spontaneously make up a song as part of my Thanksgiving ritual. I think it would not be as nicely worded as some of the psalms that we have in the Bible. Maybe there are those too. Maybe they just didn't, you know, make the cut. They weren't included in the scripture because they weren't the best written. But that's an interesting thought to me when I think about Thanksgiving, when I think about giving thanks to God, and that's normally just through prayer. But what if we were to create a ritual around Thanksgiving? How would that look in your life? I do actually like to make up songs. I like to make up poems, so it might take the form of a song or a poem. I would just give it to God, knowing that it might not be as eloquent or beautifully written as some of the other psalms that have been given to God going before. But of course, God loves our offerings, regardless of what they are. God loves the, you know, when we are in relationship with God. So God, kind of like a teacher or a parent, would appreciate the offering because it was given in faith and love. And, you know, it's the thought that counts. But I am wondering what your Thanksgiving ritual might be. If you were to give thanks to God after being delivered from whatever it might be, from sickness, from trial, from anything in your life that has been going on, and then you made it through the other side, which, you know, always is such an amazing feeling when you're in the middle of it. You just want to be able to get to the other side of whatever it is that's going on. And then when you come out that other side, What would be your ritual of Thanksgiving? Can you think of anything? I would love to hear if you have any thoughts. I would love to hear from you on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. And I know that sounds like kind of a plug for Twitter and Facebook, but it is the only way that I have of being in contact with you. So I would love to hear from you whenever you have thoughts on anything that I ramble on about during these episodes, during these podcasts. So what would your Thanksgiving ritual look like? Would it involve other people? Would it be solitary? Would it involve something creative, like the crafting of a poem or a song, psalm, or creating something with your hands, whether you work with wood or glass or whatever it is, yarn? Would you create something that way? What would it look like? I'm just curious. I don't have anything specific in mind. I'm just throwing this out there to you to say, hey, if you had the opportunity to design your own Thanksgiving ritual, what would it look like to say thanks to God? Your own type of Thanksgiving psalm, even if it's not words. So back to some of the context of Psalm 116. It is a psalm of Thanksgiving. I've only said that word 15,000 times in the last 5 minutes, so you've probably gotten, hey, this is a psalm that offers thanks. Individual hymns of Thanksgiving usually have three elements within them. So first, there is an introduction, and that is where the psalmist declares the intention of giving thanks and praising God. You're not left hanging. There's an introduction that says exactly what this psalm is going to look like. The psalmist declares his or her intention of giving thanks, of praising God. Number two is the narrative, in which the psalmist tells what has happened to him or her and what then has promised those words of praise. And finally, there's the conclusion, and that's where the psalmist praises God for all that God has done on his or her behalf. So that is the ritual of the psalm, or the organization of the psalm, the layout of the psalm. And in your own rituals, you might, you know, do something similar. But it's important to note that there is, you know, there's the introduction that tells us, the reader, what type of a psalm it is. But then the other two parts, there's the narrative wherein we hear the story of why this psalm of Thanksgiving is being written, is being spoken. We hear what happened to the person who is writing the psalm, why they feel they need to give thanks and praise to God. And then finally, in the conclusion, there is that thanks and praise, giving thanks to God, praising God for all that God has done for them during this time of affliction, during this time of trial. And I just find this to be really beautiful, and I think really helpful, because we often get so focused on our own lives that we do forget to say thank you, whether that's saying thank you to each other or whether that's saying thank you to God. We can we can maybe throw it out there, and that's great when we remember to say, hey, thanks, that was awesome, and I really appreciate what you did for me. But when we take the time to put a little thought behind how we say thank you for the people in our lives, for God being in our life, that really goes a long way. I mean, on the opposite side of it, now think of those times when you have been the recipient of a thank you that really meant a lot to you. Someone took the time out of their day to maybe make a personal phone call or to seek you out, take you to coffee, give you a gift, whatever it was. Saying thank you is really important and really helps us both as the person saying thank you to express our gratitude and as the person who's being thanked to feel as though they have made a difference. They have done something that has touched someone else's life. So I think giving thanks and being thanked are really important. And even if the person, or in this case, the deity being thanked is God, it's still important. God loves to hear from us. God appreciates being in relationship with us. So once again, we have reached that time where we are going to take another break. But when we come back, we will finish up talking about this Psalm, Psalm 116. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. This is the second of our four-part episode on the readings assigned for April 30th, 2017, which is the third Sunday of Easter, of the season of Easter, and we are talking today about Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4, and 12 through 19 are the assigned verses in the lectionary, but we've actually read through the entire psalm. And I've been talking about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving rituals and how we say thanks and those times in our lives when we have been thanked and how that has made us feel. And this has absolutely nothing to do with giving thanks, but I think I mentioned yesterday how the weather has really started warming up here, and you know, I've been talking about signs of spring and signs of new life and signs of resurrection, and some of that comes with a lot of pollen. And I'm sure I can get, you know, there's lots of good reasons to be thankful for pollen, because it does pollinate our plants and helps the bees and does all this wonderful thing in the environment and nature, but it is so not good for my sinuses and maybe not for yours. And I don't know how I sound to you as you're listening to this on whatever device you're listening to, but in my headphones, I'm in the studio right now, and through the headset, I sound weird. So if I sound weirder to you than I normally do, I'm just going to blame the pollen. There's my random aside not for this podcast, because it's not the first random aside, but I figure you know, it doesn't hurt to have a little bit more of personality in these. So anyway, back to the structure of the psalm, the structure of a Thanksgiving psalm, which has an introduction, a narrative, and a conclusion. And in Psalm 116, if you are the type of person that likes to mark these things down, verses 1 and 2 are the introduction. Verses 3 through 11 are the narrative. And we saw that we actually only read verses 3 and 4 of the narrative, which is interesting. We missed out on a lot. If you didn't, you know, if you heard this on Sunday in church, you would have missed out on most of the narrative as to why this psalm was being written, why the thanksgiving and praise were being given. So I'm glad for my own sake that I definitely went back and read that. So I got the entire narrative, what happened to the psalmist, what prompted these words of thanksgiving and praise. And then, of course, verses 12 through 19, which we did read, are the conclusion. And that's where we see the psalmist giving praise to God for what God has done, thanking God for what God has done. And so if we look at the introduction first off, because that's where you would start, verse 1 has some difficulty for modern translation. And here I'm reading from some commentary by Nancy DeClasse Walford, who is professor of Old Testament and Biblical Languages at McAfee School of Theology, Mercer University in Atlanta, Georgia. So thank you, Nancy, for your great work on this psalm. She says there's some interpretational difficulty that leads some modern translators to amend this text from "I love because the Lord hears my voice" to "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice." So she asks, does the psalm singer love in general because God has heard the singer's voice? Or does the singer love God because God has heard the singer's voice? This commentator, she says, this commentator, meaning her, opts to leave the text as it stands. I love because. So we have that beginning of the verse. And just to refresh your memory on that, says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. So she's talking about how that can be translated in different ways. But that introduction, I love the Lord because God has heard my voice, has heard my supplication, really, I think, is helpful to describing what has happened in this psalmist's life that has created this need to create a psalm of thanksgiving. I love God because God has heard my voice, because God has responded to me. So then in verse 2, the psalmist declares that because God has inclined God's ear to the psalmist or the singer, therefore the psalmist will call upon God as long as he or she lives. And that is God, I love that image of God inclining God's ear. And, you know, just it makes me think of that person that you go to in times of distress, that person that you go to for comfort, who just leans into you, leans in to hear what you have to say, to offer comfort and advice, or just a helping set of ears to listen. And I think that gives this psalm a lot of intimacy in the way that the psalmist is expressing that God leaned in to hear the psalmist's cries of distress and was there for the psalmist in comfort and in hearing, etc. So, and we have the narrative, verses 3 through 11, wherein the author of the psalm is describing what happened in his or her life to that he or she needed to reach out to God about, to tell God about, so that they could then find this comfort that, or to the, so that God could hear, and etc. I know that was a really awkward sentence. I don't know what I was doing. Sorry. Verses 3 and 4 tell us that the psalmist was inflicted with great distress, including the threat of death, but then cried out in the name of the Lord. And she says that name was an important concept in the ancient Near East. Names reflected the natures and characters of the persons who bore them and were conceptually equal to the very essence of being. So to know someone was to possess some part of that person. To speak the name was to speak into being. And you've probably heard this before, right? Names have power. And if you read a lot of fantasy books, that definitely comes up in fantasy books, fantasy movies, how names have power. But it is also something that has come down to us through history, that knowing someone's name gives you access to an essential part of that. So calling on the name of God is really important. The psalmist says specifically that he or she called on the name of the Lord, because then that brings God into being in a more tangible and real way. The narrative continues that the psalmist says that he or she was close to death, that he or she was afflicted with whatever it was that was going on. But if they were close to death, there was definitely a lot of, I'm sure, fear and frustration. And God was there to incline that listening ear, to bring them through, to wipe out the tears, to help those feet that stumble sometimes, to bring them through all of the trials, tribulations, afflictions, etc. that the psalmist was going through. And then we have the conclusion, verses 12 through 19, and that contains the psalmist's praise to God for deliverance and protection, and two refrains divided at verses 14 and 18. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people. So in verse 12, the psalmist asks, what may be given to the Lord for all of the goodness that the Lord bestows? Verse 13 and 14 answer that question. A cup of helps and completion of vows. So in this context, then, of these grouping of psalms, the cup of helps can refer to the fourth cup of celebratory wine drunk at the Passover meal, which is pretty interesting, right? And then verse 15, she says, as puzzled commentators for millennia. Most English translations follow closely the translation of precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But one Hebrew word in verse 15 is an interesting study. And I don't know if you paid much attention to that verse, but it does sound a little jarring as you're reading this psalm of thanksgiving. And then suddenly, precious is the death of God's servants or God's saints. The word usually translated, she says, as precious comes from a Hebrew word which means be dignified, honorable, heavy, or valuable. It occurs 9 times in the book of Psalms and is translated variously as precious, glory, honor, costly, pomp, and weighty. So the use of this Hebrew word to describe the death of God's faithful ones indicates that God does not happily accept the death of any faithful one, but considers life the better alternative and counts each death as costly and weighty. So I really appreciate this paragraph because it does sound a little odd that, you know, it does sound like God is happy or God is celebrating the death of God's faithful servants, and that's not it. God is mourning those deaths, even as we mourn them. That it's not a celebration per se. It's not precious per se, but it's heavy. It's costly, but it also brings with it glory and honor, etc. So you get this really rich group of words that you can't just translate into necessarily one English word. And of course, this is often where we run into problems with translating, is there's so many words that go into the meaning of one word in another language that it's hard to find a word in English that fully conveys the meaning behind that. So the death of God's servants is precious in that it's taken into its full account. It's taken as this is a life lost. This is one of God's servants who is no longer in the world, who is no longer doing what God has called him or her to do. So we are about out of time, and that was my discussion with you. Hopefully you found some things to think about in Psalm 116. Again, we talked today about Psalm 116. We talked about the whole thing, the lectionary assigned verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 19. I hope that you will join me again tomorrow when we talk about the third of the four assigned readings, and that one comes from, again, the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 17 through 23, and that will be tomorrow's assigned reading. Thank you again for joining me as we discuss Psalm 116. As always, I remind you, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download them on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and any of those apps that you use on your mobile devices. You can follow us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. We are GSMC Bible Study, sometimes with an underscore, sometimes with a slash, but you should be able to find us if you just type in GSMC. All of the podcasts should come up, so I would love to hear from you on social media. As always, thank you for joining me. As always, until next time, I hope that you remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.